here with me today, my brother, DJ Strawberry. Welcome to the Go Turbo Brand Garrison of the Citizen State Network. Man, I appreciate you being on. Where you at right now? I know you're overseas. Where you at right now?
Yeah, I'm out in Spain right now, out in Murcia, of Spain.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's straight, man. Still blessed to be playing basketball. You know, that's the thing.
I already know, man. How the fam doing?
Fam is doing great, man. They love it out here. Weather's good. Everybody's just trying to stay safe right now.
Yeah, man. We got that snow back this way up in Maryland, man. The cold weather.
I was out
in Spain right now, bro.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I was out in Spain right now, man. Hey. But you've been checking out any of the terms lately, though, man? The games?
Man, I haven't got a chance to check on college basketball, period, this year. I was watching one game of college basketball, and for me, it's kind of weird with no fans, college basketball, because that's the whole point of a college basketball. That's how you get hyped. That's where the energy comes from.
Exactly.
And just seeing it with no fans, it was kind of it was still good basketball, but it was kind of different for me.
Right, exactly, man. And that's what I was talking to. You know, I had Coach Williams on, man. And I was talking to Coach Turgeon the other couple of days ago, man. And just talking about, like, just not having no fans. Like, you go from one year, especially with the players, when you go from one year to having, you know, I had the Comcast.
Yeah.
Jumping. And then you go to, you know, no fans with the whole COVID. Then they had a chance last year to go far, man, and possibly win a chip. And then they just end the season like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's probably crazy for the coaches, too, because, you know, they kind of got to tone it down a little bit as well. Because, you know, how with the fans, you can't hear everything that they're saying. Now they kind of just kind of be easy.
Hey, bro. Hey, I was talking to a couple of the other players, man, like about G-Dub. Like, man, Hey, bro, I was like, yo, imagine if G-Dub was coaching during this era, man.
He wouldn't be able to do it. He wouldn't be able to do it.
Hey, bro, because they'd probably tell him he had to tone it down. You know how he going to go, man. He's like, man, he ain't going to do it. You know what I mean?
He can't tone down at all. Once that game starts, he's fired up.
Oh, you already know, bro. Hey, I know you had a lot of schools, man, to choose from. What made you choose to come to the East Coast, man, to come to Maryland, man?
Man. So, yeah. You know, when I came on my visit to Maryland, and man, we played pickup there. Man, everybody was competing so crazy. Everybody was talking trash, and you know, everybody just was playing. And then after we went to playing, everybody's just going out together and having a good time, and you know, hanging together. So it was like a family. But once we stepped on the court, it was like, okay, I don't care who you are, we competing. And, you know, on the West Coast, we got that. But on the West Coast, we a little bit more chill with it. When I came to Maryland, everybody's outspoken, talking, you know, fighting, whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody was fighting for their spot, you know.
Right.
And I love that about Maryland, about you guys. And it was really you guys that brought me to Maryland. And my boy, Akene Ebekwe, was with me. He wanted to go to SC. So I had to convince him to go to Maryland, because I don't know if I could have did it without him.
Right. Yeah, I remember y'all came on campus, man. I remember that whole scenario, you coming on campus. Both of y'all came together on a visit together, right?
Yeah, that's my man.
Like you said, we went on, we played pickup, man. Then we just, like you said, man, we kicked it afterwards, man. And that's when DC was DC, you know what I mean?
Man, and that's when, that's when DC was DC, and everybody was getting all the loving at the University of Maryland. And, it was unbelievable times we had there, and I can't even imagine going anywhere else.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. I know. So what was your, like, coming from, like I said, the West Coast, man, that transition, and then coming in from high school and then coming into Maryland, man, like your freshman year, what was that experience like?
I can say that I really wasn't shell-shocked, you know, coming in. I think, and you could attest to this too, playing for a big time high school program like Modern Day and DeMatha, they kind of prepare you for what you're going into in college. Like you playing in front of big crowds, you playing the top teams, the top players in the country. So when I got to Maryland, I think I was fundamentally sound and I was ready to play with other good players, because when you play in a program like those programs coming in high school, you have to be able to play with good players. And I didn't play my junior year in high school, really. Like, I probably averaged like 8 or 9 minutes my junior year in high school because, you know, I was transferred to Mater Dei and I was coming from a school where, you know, I averaged 25 points a game.
Right.
So, you know, adapting to being able to play with good players and, you know, finding your roles within the team and and then sacrificing and playing for the team, I think that was what helped me come into Maryland and transition me into being able to play as a freshman with you guys.
Right. Yeah, definitely, man. Definitely, man. You know, you came in, man. Definitely high energy, man. Athleticism, you know, that defense on strap, man. And then just that heart, man. Like, you know, you and C-Mac, man, y'all used to get hyped together. Yeah, like, just that energy, man. You know, just being hyping the games, man, getting the crowd hype, man. I know the fans love that. I know it was a point in time at Maryland, man. You had to switch from the two to the point guard. What was that transition like? Like, what was that process like? Cause I know it happened quick.
Yeah, it happened quick it happened after coming back from tearing my ACL. So I come back from tearing my ACL and then Coach Williams was like, you're gonna have to play the one. And I'm like, wow, all right, cool. You know, I can handle it. I can pretty much handle anything at this point. Like, I just want to play.
Right.
Again. That's what I was. So, you know, tough transition, you know, being a natural two and just a natural off-ball player to going to just handling the ball at every possession, getting pressed every game because every team knew I wasn't a natural point guard. It was really tough, but it elevated my game for years to come. I think that helped me play as many years as I had played professional because, you know, I got that point guard perspective.
Right. Yeah, man, and you know, I know you talked about that ACL, man, and I remember in practice when that happened because it wasn't even nothing that happened. I think you was running and stuff. I forgot what happened, man, but like you went down, you just grabbed your knee, and it looked like nothing. Everybody thought it was nothing major because nothing, you know what I mean? Then it happened. So what was going through your mind during that time and that whole process, man, and come back? I know it was a year off, right?
Yeah, I took 10 months off pretty much until I got back on the court. Like that was some dark days and some dark nights right there, man. You know, not many people were coming back from ACL surgeries back then. You know, I was pretty much thankful for. I don't know if you remember this. We were transitioning from one strength and conditioning coach to another. So I think during that summer we didn't have a strength and conditioning coach. I think it was a couple of replacements, and they were working with you guys. So I was working with the women's basketball coach, Corliss White.
Corliss, yeah.
And, you know, I think I came in a couple times late in the morning, and she was just on my case. Like, she was tough. Like, she was tough. She told me straight up, like, hey, look, if you want to do this, cool. If you don't, I'm a Carolina fan, so if you don't come back, that's better for me. And I was like, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to come back, and we're gonna get back at Carolina. So she really pushed me, and I'm still thankful to this day for her.
Yeah, man, that's tough, man. I know we definitely missed you out there in that court, man. You know, with the energy, man.
Yeah.
The points, the defense, all that, man. So we saw you go down, man. That was tough, man. It was, especially just as a. Go ahead.
Yeah, because you know that, like, when we had just beat Memphis by like 30 points, and we had came back. I think we was going ranked in the top 10. Then we was like, okay, we was coming off an ACC championship too. We lost on a buzzer beater to Syracuse, freshman year, sophomore year. But we coming back thinking like, okay, we're going to come back, compete for another ACC title and make a run for the Final Four. We good enough.
Right, right.
And, you know, that was a big blow for all of us because, you know, we was on a roll then too.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, just seeing one of our teammates, our brothers go down like that, especially, man, you know, knowing that what that process is going to be like, man, and knowing you want to be out there, but you can't be out there, you know, but to see you bounce back, man, that was like I said, man, was due to your confidence, man, and your strength and deciding to push through. And like I said, definitely helped us, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
So like, what was like, I know what you're going to speak on, but what was playing in the ACC, let's say that now because they're in the Big Ten now. What was that? What was it like for you, man, playing in the ACC against the Dukes, you know, Carolinas, all those big games, man, with the way the fans were? Like, what was that experience like for you, man?
Hey, the ACC was, I think it was the best thing that ever happened. And it was, you know, you getting to compete against, you know, monsters every night.
Right,
and
right,
it's like, it was no other, okay, maybe the Big East had that too.
Right.
But it was no other conference that had what we had, man. It was monsters every night. It didn't matter if you was going into Virginia to go play, Virginia Tech, Clemson, you know, Carolina, and Duke. It was Wake Forest had CP. Man, it was every night. You going against NBA talent every night. And you had to bring your A game. And I think that just brought the best out of all of us. I mean, if you was a little bit nervous, you was going to get taken advantage of. So you couldn't be scared at all. You had to have supreme confidence in yourself and your game and your teammates. So I think us being so close, I mean, that's what helped us through the ACC because those games was rough, man.
Like you said, man, we could play Duke one game, man, beat them, then go down to B-Tech and play them. And it's a dog fight. Or go play Clemson. It's a dog fight. You know what I mean? You know, and they ain't how they is.
Go play Duke, Clemson. That Clemson was. Oof.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So
you was lucky to get out of there with a win.
Exactly. Such any road games in the ACC. Okay, who you playing? If you get a road win, man, that's huge. That's huge, man. What was one of some of your best moments? Whether it's on the court or off the court. You know what I mean? At Maryland, man. You know, what was some of the best moments? I know you're gonna bring up the 2004 ACC. We all bring that up. So what was some of your greatest times, the greatest moments on and off the court at Maryland?
Man, I mean, definitely that ACC tournament, you know, was something special. You know, what we was all able to do, I mean, and what John was able to do, let's be real. He led us right. And we just followed him.
Right.
But I mean, that was a blessing just to be there and experience that and go through that. And I mean, off the court, man, we had so many wild times and so many great nights and fun, so much fun. It was, I can't just pinpoint one night, man. I think it was one time. I mean, we was always all together, and when we all got together, it was it was everybody joking on everybody, and man, we had some good nights.
Hey, bro. Hey, I already know. Man, I tell people all the time, man. Some of my greatest experiences came from at Merlin, like you said, man. Because we was tighter than a lot of people probably thought we were, man. Like, cause we was once you leave the court, you know, a lot of times people gotta go their separate ways. Whereas us, man, we hit each other up. What you doing? Hey, come through the crib. Oh, we going out, we going hanging out, we going down the street, we doing everything together. Yeah. You know what I mean? Doing everything together.
And none of us own no jeans. We didn't own a pair of jeans for nothing. We was in our Maryland sweatshirts everywhere.
Hey, bro, we going to the night, we going to the club. Hey, we in the clubs, bro. We got sweatpants on, sweatshirt. And this is when the time you had to dress up to go to the clubs and stuff. Yeah, man. Nah, I was like
you
I said, man.
Dress up. We in our Maryland sweatshirts.
Hey, now it was definitely great times, man. What was it like for you as a point guard, man? Playing for G Dub, you know, with his energy, man, and like how much did he do for you in your game, and you know, I mean, in your transition later on in your career? But this at Maryland, like, what was that experience like for you,
man? G Dub, man, he believed in me from day one, and that was a big thing for me, like. Just stepping in there as a freshman and him just throwing me out there in the fire in any game and playing me in big moments in all games. And I was like, yo, if this guy believes me, if this Hall of Fame coach believes in me, man, I got to believe in myself to go out there and get the job done. So he gave me supreme confidence. And I felt like, you know, I wasn't the most talented dude, like by far wasn't the most talented basketball player, but you know, I wanted to match up with the best.
Right.
And in order to, you know, see where you match up, you had to match up with the best. So I was like, right. Sure, like if if I need to guard the best player every night, man, that's what I'm going to do. And right. I want to see what he got. Because right. I know I can play, but I want to see who the best is out here.
Right.
And, you know, him having that confidence in me to put me out there and match me up against the best players every night, you know, it did wonders for me. And, you know, I still have that fight that he gave me now at the age of 35 playing basketball, right. man. It's like, no, I'm not going to let nobody just score on me any kind of way or do me any kind of way. And, like,
right.
he installed that in me earlier.
Right, right.
Freshman year, so. You know, him was an honor. And he had that fire. He had a fire that I've never seen out of anybody.
Yeah.
It was incredible to watch him coach and watch him go crazy.
Hey, bro, I tell people all the time, man, like you said, we talking about it now, man, because there's no fans, so you hear exactly what he says. And a lot of times, he ain't talking to nobody on the court. He's talking to everybody on the bench. So you got to turn around, and so everybody going to hit all that,
yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And I
hey, that's why I was trying to get off that bench. I was trying to get off the bench.
Hey, bro, because he said.
He come down.
Because some of the stuff he say, man, it don't even go. Is it fly?
It don't matter. Chris mess up, he coming after me. Whoever, a Kenny mess up, he was getting it. It didn't matter.
Hey, bro, you ain't lying, man. He was letting all of us have it about what they was doing on the court. Hey, bro. Like I tell people all the time, because people always ask me, man, how was it playing for Gary, man? And how was he like? And a lot of people get it misconstrued because they don't interact with him like we do. So they only see that outside Gary, you know, Coach Williams, he real quiet. If he don't know you, he ain't gonna have too many words for you. But with us, he'll joke around, clown it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't get to see that side of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't.
For you, man, as a freshman coming in, man, and like you said, we won the ACC championship. What was that experience like for you? Because that was your freshman year when we did that. You know, my sophomore year, I had, you know, Blake and them, but I met, like, you coming in as a freshman, we doing that, and that experience. What did it? How was it for you in that your experience, and what did it do for the rest of your career at Maryland, like in regards to like your attitude, the mentality, and everything?
That was big time for me as a freshman, and I think even for you guys who were just because we were still young. You guys were just sophomores, so we all were still young, and I think that did wonders for our confidence because we was losing a lot before the ACC tournament, but we were in a lot of games and we were competing and we were getting better every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to see all that come to life, like into the ACC tournament and we go on and beat Duke finally and win the tournament. Oh man. I mean, that gave us so much confidence. I was just a freshman, but once we won that, we going into the tournament, I'm thinking like, oh yeah, we can go all the way.
We didn't beat Duke.
We didn't beat Wake Forest. We didn't beat all these top teams. We can go all the way. That's how I was thinking. And you know, I mean, it just doesn't happen like that. It didn't happen like that. But I mean, that experience gave me so much confidence. I believe that hey, we can beat anybody now. Like we didn't beat Duke. Like we couldn't beat them all year, and we finally did it. And they ranked one or two or whatever they was ranked. Oh, we can go all the way.
Right. Nah, that was definitely an experience, man, for sure, man. Like I said, I tell people all the time, that was like one of my greatest experiences in basketball, period, because what we had to do, had to beat Chris Paul and Wake Forest. That wasn't no easy task. And you had to be down by 20 against NC State with Julius Hodge and them.
He was a monster.
Hey, bro, we got to deal with them. And then you talking about the next day, we got Duke and got to play them with the mob they had. And then we had to play double overtime. Yeah. We had to go to overtime. Like, you know what I mean? So that was spirit. Like I said, my tell people time experience is crazy, man. It's definitely, it's in the ACC history books for sure. For sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so we basically made history. You know, we basically made history, man. We got a chip. We got an ACC championship, man, since 1984. So, you know, I mean, that experience was crazy, man. Then now I be going to tailgates and I be talking to some of the alumni and the boosters, man, the fans, and hearing their stories, bro. Man, bro.
Yeah.
Hearing their stories about that weekend, man, and what they experienced, man.
About that weekend, right?
Bro, it changed my – it gave me a chance to look on the outside, bro. Because, you know, we playing. We in it. We don't get to see that.
And you get that outside experience, yeah.
Bro, they talking about, man, how they were down by 20, everybody was leaving, and then people started screaming, they started coming back in.
I bet people bought tickets for one day. They thought we was out after one day.
Exactly, that whole experience, man. But what Coach always told us and what we told ourselves, man, it was just about us in the locker room. We couldn't focus on what the papers were saying, especially back then. Like you said, we were young. So a lot of people was killing us. You know what I mean? About how we play our up and down season. So we had so much going on to the point we had to shut down everything on the outside and just focus on everything on the inside in the locker room.
Yeah.
Hey, so, for you though, man, like, what? Okay, you had your Maryland career, man. Had a great career there, man. Now you're talking about that draft process. What was that process like for you, man? Because like you said, man, you had to put that work in, and you got to a point where now you're in position now. You're in position to make your dreams come true. So what was that process like? And then hearing your name called, like, what was that whole process like, man?
It was all surreal, man. Like, straight up, it was a surreal experience. I was this is what I had been working for my whole career at Maryland, you know. And after middle of my sophomore year, I tear my ACL. I come back my junior year, don't really have a great season because I'm playing the one. And, you know, I'm just not 100% coming off of ACL that first year. So that second year, I kind of locked in. I mean, my senior year, I kind of locked in and was like, you know, hey, I didn't come all the way to Maryland to not be able to have a shot, you know, for not to be able to. First of all, our first thing was to get back to the tournament. And we did that. We had a good season. We got back to the tournament. And then was to have a shot at the draft. And one guy that pushed me every day was Grievous Vasquez, man. I tell you, we used to get in fist fights, playing one-on-one. His passion and his fire was so annoying to me. But I loved it. I loved it because it pushed me. And without him, I would have never had a chance to make it to the league because he pushed me every day, trying to beat me in one-on-one. Him beating me, and then I'm like, nah, we not leaving this gym until I get a win. So he pushed me every day. And we pushed each other. And then that whole draft process, like, I was going through the process and, you know, I was doing my thing and worked out for 12, 15 teams. And, you know, getting my name called was another unbelievable experience. It was just, you know, I did it. I was one of 60 to get called that night. You know, it don't matter where you get called, is if you get called or not. And I got called, and then that's when the real work started after that.
Right, exactly, man. Like you said, man, it don't matter what number you get called at, man, because you see a lot of examples like Gilbert Arenas going the second round, didn't have the career he had, you know what I mean? And then even with you, man, like, you played in the league for a number of years, you know, you had that experience. So what was that like? Now you go from the high school experience at modern day, then you go to Maryland. Mm-hmm. So you had that was a transition, but now you got another transition to the league, something that you always wanted to get to. Now you're there. So what was that process like, man? How was that experience?
Thrown in the fire. Thrown right in the fire, man. You put me on a team, like, I ain't go to a young team. I went to a team that just went to the Western Conference Finals, that if Amari doesn't step on the floor and get thrown out, and Boris Diaw, I think, get thrown out of that game seven, they might be San Antonio and go to the NBA Finals. Right. So I'm getting thrown in on that team right there. And then we added Shaq. So it's like, okay, now I'm at a whole different level. Like, now I'm with superstars.
Right.
And you got to carry yourself a certain way. You got to do things a certain way and prepare a certain way. And just watching how they prepare every day and how everybody has their own little superstitions. And, you know, something's got to be this way. And, you know, the way these guys compete, man, it was crazy because it was just a whole different level, man. It was a whole different level of basketball. The basketball was the easy part. It was everything else, preparing and doing all this and the scouting and the tape and the everything was just different.
Man, that's crazy. I know you played against Kobe. You know, because I saw somebody post something not too long ago. You played against Kobe. What was that experience like, man? The late great Kobe, rest in peace. What was that experience? What was that experience like, man?
So I think it was like, or maybe it might have been Shaq's first game with us, because we traded for Shaq halfway through the season. So it might have been his first or second game with us, and we played the Lakers on TNT, and it was a big time game. I'm thinking, I'm not getting in this game because I know D'Antoni, he's gonna put me. I know when he was gonna put me in. You know, I was gonna play against Minnesota and teams like that. If we play the Lakers, you're not getting in. I'm just chilling, watching. I'm watching the show. Kobe is killing. He's going crazy. He hitting him with the left hand, dunking three. I'm like, oh, okay, this is the real deal right here. This is Kobe. Yeah, so he's out there killing. And I'm just on the bench. It's just the third quarter. It's like middle of the third quarter. I'm just chilling on the bench, and like my boy Alondo Tucker, he's sitting next to me. And I guess D'Antoni called my name. And I'm like, and he's like, D'Antoni called you. I'm like, no, man. He didn't call me. Stop playing. You about to have me run up there, take my stuff off and look crazy.
Right.
So he's like, DJ, get in the game. I'm like, oh, okay. I snap off my pants, throw my joint. I get in the game. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, yeah, you got Kobe. I'm like, what? I look up, you got like 30. I'm like, he already cooking. There's nothing I can do. First possession, Kobe swing through on me, go right. I do my patent and take a charge on him, like, ooh. And I get hyped. Like, I'm thinking it's college days. I get hyped. I'm like, ah. I said, oh, yeah, look, it's right in front of our bench. So I look at our bench in front of Rajah Bell and all them. I said, yeah, he's not that real. I said, he's not that real. And we walking down court. He pat me on my butt. He said, I hope your daddy's watching. And he proceeds to give me about 12 straight points. I was like, oh, wow.
Hey, bro.
He gave me bucket after bucket after bucket. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, yeah, that's my welcome to the league moment right there.
Hey, that's crazy, bro. That's crazy, man. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, because I know how you used to get, bro, when you get hyped. So hey, that's crazy, bro. But I heard he hit a lot of people like that, man, with that. Like, they talking trash, whatever. He's like, all right. Like, say a little something to him. But that's crazy, you know, bro.
Yeah, the late great Kobe. Rest in peace, man.
Oh, man.
He was a monster, man.
Who else, man, that you either looked up to, man, or, you know, being watched on TV that was like, man, they was tough, and then you actually got to play against them? Or who did you, like, looking forward to? I know Kobe probably was one of them. But getting into the league was like, man, I can't wait to play against them or that team or that player.
Man, I think everybody's was AI.
Oh, man.
AI was he's an icon, man. And, you know, getting matched up on him, it's like your knees start to buckle. Like, you don't know what he's going to do. So you like,
right.
I mean, when you get matched up on him, that's when you like, that's when you see the real light. Like, okay, am I ready for this?
Right, right.
Yeah, that was a big matchup for me that I was looking forward to. And I think just playing in the Garden again, like against the Knicks. I mean, I played in the Garden before, but against the Knicks in the Garden, yeah, that was a big experience too.
Oh, man, yeah, that's crazy. But that Garden, man, that Garden is different. People, hey, that playing in that Garden, bro. Hey, that's a different type of game, man, especially I ain't playing against the Knicks, but I know you're talking about like playing against the Knicks, man, and their fans, man. I can just only imagine. So now you had that NBA experience, but then you transitioned overseas. What was the first thing you played with over there when you went?
Fortitudo Bologna.
How was that experience? And then your career overseas to this point, like how was that experience? You know, coming from the NBA, man, and going over there, and then now you got your family, like that whole experience for you.
It's two different worlds. That's really what it is. It's two different worlds. Like they in Europe, they do things totally different than they do in the NBA. So if you can't adjust to that, then you're not gonna have any success. And I think one of my old heads, Khalid Alamin, when I came over, when I first came over, I played with him. He went to UConn. That's my man.
Good dude too.
Yeah, great dude, man. Great dude. He told me, like, You know, if you can't adapt to, you know, their culture and start and try to fit into what they're doing and how they play, then you're going to have a short career overseas too. And you're going to miss out on a lot of money or a lot of basketball, not even a lot of money, a lot of basketball that you wish you were going to be able to play later in your career, later in your life. And I was like, yeah, that is true. Like going back in years after years, I'm like, yeah, that was true what he was saying. So being overseas is different. They play basketball different. It's more of a, it's like college basketball with grown men. That's really what it is.
Right.
They pack the paint. You got to be able to make jumpers. And, you know, they're all about respect and, you know, just doing things the right way. And it's kind of like college. It's kind of like college for grown men, really.
Right, and that's what I tell people, man, especially the younger guys, man, that's going overseas or trying to go overseas, like that, man, adapting to that culture is huge. I mean, I ain't even talking about the basketball stuff. The basketball stuff is kind of easy. I mean, yeah, you got to learn the game. It's more fundamentally sound over there. But the culture, man, what they do off the court, the language, the food, hanging out with them, all that stuff, man, that stuff, you can be killing on the court. But if you ain't adapting or they don't like you, you ain't adapting to their culture or fitting in with them off the court. They get you out of there, man. And a lot of people don't understand. Yeah. Like you said, man, it's all inclusive. Like if you're in the league, it's a little different because you kind of can just leave and go about your business and it is what it is. Yeah. Whereas you overseas, you got to, it's everything. Basketball, what you're doing off the court, hanging out with the teammates. Everything, man, everything.
Yeah, true. Like what I tell all the young dudes that I talk to sometimes, I say, you better love basketball, man. Because you're going to have to deal with a lot of stuff off the court that got nothing to do with basketball.
Nothing.
And that is going to be affected. That's going to affect your play.
Right.
So you better love basketball because you're going to have to deal with a bunch of other stuff that is just, you like, why do I have to deal with this? It has nothing to do with basketball, but they think it does. So you better love it. If you want to come over here and play, you better love basketball, man.
Exactly, man. Like you said, man, when I talk to the kids, man, I talk to the youngins or talk to guys that's over there that's trying to have longevity, I said, man, it's everything, man. You can kill and all that, but when you lose, I mean, they blaming you. When you win, it's a team thing, but when you lose, oh, yeah, it's your fault. it's your fault, you know what I mean? And then they don't have, like, back-to-back bad games and y'all lose, and they might be calling somebody at halftime to get you out of there.
it's cutthroat, so you got to – You gotta seal yourself as a good person first, man. Like if you're a good teammate and a good person, they're gonna look past all, some of those bad games or whatever, and you know you're gonna still be able to show and prove yourself. But if you're a bad teammate and you ain't hanging out with your teammates and you think you're the man, like that's the number one. If you think you're the man, you're done.
Right.
You have to get that out quick because. You know, over in Europe, they have their domestic players that they want to be the man. So whatever country you in, them domestic players is the man. So you got to adapt to them and say, okay, I'm up under you guys.
Right. And like you said, man, I done been in situations where if that main domestic player don't like you, I don't care how good you are. If they don't like you, they're going to the coach, like, and they're going to the president because that's their people. They're going to look out for them.
That's their people because they all got connections together.
Bro. I'm down in Venezuela playing. I'm in Venezuela. This is like my first year playing overseas, bro. I had about 35 at half. I'm gonna pay my man at home, like my big OG. He won cups with them and everything. He hurt, so he ain't back at home. But he telling me everything they said on TV after the game. He's like, man, like bro, you was on pace to break a record because I had 35 at the half, and then I was on pace. You know, I was on. Hey, I ain't gonna lie, bro. I was. Hey. Hey, I wasn't missing at hey, bro. Grievous hit me up. He's like, yo, bro, like, man, like, they talk. Hey, yo, when I say front, I'm talking everything, the threes. I'm just in my mode right now. But at the same time, we have the main players on the team, the national team players on the bench, and I got about four in my position. Uh-huh. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Bro, I played about 2 minutes in the second half, man. I played about 2 minutes in the second half, bro. So, hey, and we lost the game. Hey, I was hot, bro, because like you said, those national players, they had to say so.
Look, that's been my whole career. But I just learned to be like, okay, well, when I'm out there, I'm gonna get mine off, and then when I'm on the bench, I'm gonna be like this. Hey, look.
And it has, and like you said, it's all about adapting to that, because, like I said, I was young, so I was like, I was mad after the game. I'm mad. I'm in my feelings. You know, I'm going to the coach. I'm looking at the coach like, man, we lost because you kept me out the game. Like I'm in my feelings, but the overall bigger picture was
understand
some of him.
Yeah,
I don't. He rather take an L in the game just to keep them happy. You know what I mean? So, but like you said, it's everything. It's a whole package there when you go overseas or go play professionally overseas, man, because it's a lot that goes into it, man. Everything, you have to be not just a great basketball player or good basketball player. You have to have character. You have to, like you said, man, that hanging out with them. You know, even if some stuff you don't want to do, you got to do it. Got to do
you
it.
Gotta
like
do
you said,
it.
Man. And you've been playing for how many years you been overseas now, bro? Playing
this
professionally, playing professionally for 13 years?
14 professional.
Hey, bro, like, man, like, so now you got your family, man. You got your kids. How was that, man?
Yeah.
You know, dealing with them and traveling, and I know they travel with you a lot. But what is that experience like, man?
Man, it's been everything. Like just seeing your kids grow up, and every day with you in another country, and they going to my son. He's going to Spanish school. He come back and talking some Spanish to me. I'm like, hey, what you talking about? He's like, Dad, you don't speak no Spanish? I'm like, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Like to see him growing up like that, man, in a whole different place, a whole different way than any of us grew up. Like,
right.
He's going to Spanish school, eating different foods. Like, he's a whole Spanish kid. Like, it's unbelievable. Like that. I mean, it just it makes me happy that I'm able to give him that experience. And then, you know, before when they was going to the games and stuff, like, you know, he like gonna bring his ball. And he like, I'm going when you go, Dad. Like, I can't just come to the game. I gotta go early when you go, and I'm trying to get shots up. I'm trying to do so. Like, just seeing them grow and seeing them through that experience, and then everything. You know, that, I mean, you can't even beat that experience. Like, that's one of the best experiences that life can give you, is seeing your son grow up in another country, speaking another language, enjoying it, not sad, but enjoying
it,
and still wants to play basketball.
Right, and like you said, man, that's definitely huge, man, because you see that same thing happening with Kobe. I mean, Kobe went through that same situation. Dad's overseas playing ball, man.
Yeah.
And he living overseas, you know what I mean? Like, his whole life pretty much was raised up overseas until he got to, high school, middle school, high school. So like you said, man, I mean, that could be the same situation. So what's been the best country you played in so far, man? Like, what's been your best experience, like, playing overseas? Like, what's been your favorite country so far in that whole experience?
Man, probably two. Probably Istanbul and Turkey.
Turkey.
You know, we had some great teams there. We had some great players that I played with there. And then in Athens, Greece. Athens, Greece was amazing, man. It was an unbelievable place. Country, food. Basketball, the fans is crazy there. Like, the fans will, you walk into Starbucks, and I play for a team called Olympiacos, and James Giss played for the other side. Yeah. So I walk into Starbucks, and our fans will tell you, hey, don't lose this game. You don't, like, and be serious, like, don't lose this game. We will come find you if you lose this game. You like, dang, I'm just coming to get a coffee.
right.
Yeah, but they're serious. They will come and try to fight the whole team if you lose to them. It's they die for this.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I played in experienced some Istanbul, and I was over in Greece too. I was in Athens. I was in Kabbalah too. I was over in Athens. I was over there. Matter of fact, we played against James. Matter of fact, Landon was over there too. Landon was over there as well.
Landon was over there too.
It was me. Terrell Stoglin was on the same team. It was us two on the same team. James and Papanekos and Landon. I forget the name of the team Landon was with. But yeah, we over there.
He was in Panionios, I think.
Yeah, that's exactly up. He was over in that team, man. So we played against James and them once when I got there. I came from somewhere else. Then I came to Greece, and we played against James one time. They played against Landon. So just like you said, man, just us all there together, man, kicking it, not just on the game, but going out, hanging out. You know how Greece is, bro. You know how Greece is. You know how Turkey is, man. So, like, man, Turkey's like my second home. I still got friends over there, like family, man. But definitely two of the greatest countries to not just basketball, but just life off of it. You know?
But just life. Man. You have a good life if you live in there. Like, it's easy. It's not a really big adjustment from America.
Right. So when's your next game over there? Because I know you said y'all had the cups last week, right? Or was it EuroLeague last year? Last week?
So we got this week off, and then we playing. Our next game is on, I think, in 2 weeks, on the 27th. So we don't play for a while. So we got a couple of days off.
Okay. So what has been like for you over there, man? Because I know my overseas is, I ain't go through that, but with COVID and all, man, like, they still let a lot of fans come to the games, or like, how is life over there right now, bro?
Man, it's totally different, man. It's right now you have to love basketball more than anything, because that's all you do. You go play basketball and you come home. And you go play basketball and you come back home. And like, I played some games with no fans because our fans probably got kicked out a couple games, and we had to play one game with no fans. But playing every game with no fans is hard, bro. It's hard. It is hard. It's hard to find energy and motivation every game with no fans, because, you know, sometimes you come and you're like, man, I'm not really feeling it today. But then you the fans get you going. You like, okay, well, yeah, okay, exactly. I can hoop today. I can hoop today, but it's none of that. You got to find a way to create your own energy. And like, I tried trash talking to people, but I'm the old dude now. I'm mostly friends with all these dudes now. Yeah. So I know everybody. If I start talking trash, they're like, come on, DJ, stop it.
Right.
You ain't 23 no more, man. Stop it.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. Like you said, man, you the OG overseas right now. You the OG right now, man. You're like, you 35, man. So how many more years you think you got to play, or that you want to play, before you like, man, I'm good now? You just gonna keep going until you can't go no more?
Man, I think I think I'm gonna play one more year after this one, and then I'm done. I want to get one more year in, and that's it.
Man, that's what's up, man. Man, you played, man, 14 years, man. I think I only did about 11, 12, man. But like you said, man, basketball definitely did so much for us, man. Not just for us, man, but for our families, man, our kids, man. That experience, like your kids and that experience, they never gonna forget that. You know, I'm talking to my kids about that now. Man, we was talking about stories when they was over there. Oh, I remember hearing that. But like you said, man, basketball, man, it took us places, man, that we probably never even thought about or dreamed about.
Never, man. It's definitely been a blessing. So, you know, I'm just gonna continue to take advantage of it while I can. And you know, once it's over, it's over. So you got to be prepared for that as well, because I mean, it's gonna end one day. But you know, as long as I can continue to play and I'm healthy, you know, I'm try to play one more.
Man, that's what's up, man. Hey, man, I know you got a busy schedule, man. Got to get back to the fam. I definitely appreciate you coming on the Go Terps.
I always got time for you, man.
Hey, real talk, man. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, man. Even y'all energy when you was at Maryland, man, hanging out, kicking it, man. Just the support, man. And I love to see what you're doing now, man. Spending time with the fam, man, and still killing on the court at your age, bro. Man, that's big time, man. For real, man. So I appreciate you coming on with the Go Terps with Travis Garrison and Field of 68 Networks. Tell everybody to subscribe, man, you know, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It's going to be streaming on Twitter at the Field of 68. Like I said, bro, now I really appreciate your time, man. I know how it can be overseas, man, and the time difference. Because what time is it over there right now?
It's about 8:45.
Okay, it's not bad.
So it's still early.
Now, real talk, bro, I appreciate you taking time out your day, man, to come holler at me, man. I appreciate you, bro. Can't wait to come kicking with you, man.
Always.
You know, when you back in LA, man. Always. Whenever you get back home, man. So, man, let's definitely catch up, man. But I appreciate you, bro.
Definitely, man. I appreciate you having me on. You know, this is a congratulations on this platform too, man. And you know, I'm gonna be checking it out. I'm subscribing. I'm checking them out. You know, I want to hear all my boys on here. I want to hear all the stories. I want to hear some crazy stories, because we got some. And I know so it's a lot of dudes that are crazier than me that's gonna say it too.
I already know, bro. Nah, it's definitely know. I got a lot more people coming on, bro. So this definitely,
I know you got
fun,
the
man.
Lineup coming up.
it's definitely been fun, man. And man, good luck to you the rest of your season, man, and career, bro. And it's definitely stay up, man. Keep in touch, man, and come check you out real quick.
Yes, sir. Hold up.
All right, bro.